Genesis 21, did I tell you that? Let's stand together, please. Stand together, let me read a few verses here. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Hallelujah. That's a good verse to keep in your heart. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Let's pray. Father, I love you and I thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you, God, for this that we're going to look into tonight. Lord, the blessing that it is to see you keep your word, keep your promises, do miracles, Father, in our lives in spite of us. Lord, we are so thankful that you chose to love us. And God, thank you that we can love you back. And thank you that we can know you personally. Thank you that you speak to us. And Lord, tonight our prayer, Lord, from front to back, left to right, every single one of us, Lord, our prayer tonight is, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. We're not just here, Father, to be here. We have enjoyed the song service, and we've enjoyed the fellowship, and Lord, but tonight we want to hear from you through your word. We need to hear your sweet voice speaking to our needs, encouraging our hearts, lifting up our spirits, and lifting up our eyes. God, please, please, Father, meet with us tonight. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. I pray if there be one here tonight who's, Lord, fighting something in their spirit, that they would lay it down. God, that they would lay it down right now and just listen. Just listen. Let things go, Father. Cast their cares upon you. And Lord, let you help them tonight. Let your Holy Spirit have liberty here tonight. I pray you'd fill me. My heart and my mind would be completely submissive and surrendered to your will, to your word tonight for your people. Bind Satan, God, please. Don't let him interfere. We plead the shed blood of Jesus here tonight. God, do the work in all of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Boy, what a tremendous passage of Scripture, three verses that I just read, that makes, if you know anything about the Bible, it makes you remember, it makes you realize, it just kind of refreshes your understanding of how true and faithful God is. God told Abraham he was going to have a son 25 years ago. Now, I'm not going to get into all of the things about Abraham's life and all of his battles. And we men have been talking about Abraham now for 20 weeks, I think it is. 1 week per year of his life. Now, I'm just playing, almost there. But what we've got here now is the climax. The climax of Abraham's life, of God doing something that he said he was going to do, that it was humanly impossible. Sarah's womb was barren. Abraham was now 100 years old. They had been waiting and praying and battling and fighting and trusting and crying and weeping and praying. They had been in and out of troubles and trials. They had been on mountaintops and valleys. They had been through it. And now God does what God said He was going to do.
Amen.
Amen. I love to just rejoice in what God has done. Amen. Like we talked about this morning. You remember we talked about this morning in Sunday school how that when Joshua defeated Amalek, God told Moses. Now Moses, write this down and rehearse this in the ears of Joshua for years to come. Why? Because you need to be reminded of how good God really is. Of how great God's power really is. It's not a game, it's reality, amen. We have a God in heaven who can do anything. Anything. chapter 21, verse 4, Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Amen. Now, I don't know. I know they lived to be a lot older back in those days. Boy, to have a baby boy at 100 years old. I'm not even half that age, almost. But that's none of your business. Amen. I can't keep up with Samuel as it is. Boy, I can't imagine being 100 and having a baby, and then when he's 13, I'm 113. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm glad I didn't. Anyway, that's another thought. Verse 6, I'm getting to something here. Y'all just bear with me. I just enjoy reading about stuff like this because we have a God in heaven who really can. Is there anything too hard for our God?
No.
Absolutely not. Verse 6, Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. They named him Isaac. Now listen, many people think they named him Isaac, which means laughter, because Sarah laughed when God said, you're going to have a child. But in reality, I don't believe that.
No. Right.
I believe that she named him laughter because he brought joy to their home that they had never had. They had never had this kind of joy, and now they are laughing. And verse 6, she says, all that hear will laugh with me. Contagious joy. Contagious laughter. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the... But then it goes on to... He fills my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. He fills my mouth with laughter. Ha, ha, ha. And then it goes on to, ha, ha. Y'all help me now. Don't be ashamed. Ha, 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 the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now look, I'm not faking that. When you start laughing like that, it just kind of starts taking over, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Other people are too... I'm too refined for that. I'm too dignified for that kind of laughter. Come on. Now you're saved, amen, say amen.
Amen.
Going to heaven?
Amen.
Okay, look, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sarah had some laughter in her, listen, that she had never had before.
Right, amen.
She had never had this kind of joy, and it was contagious. Everybody around her was looking, wow, look at Sarah. She's laughing like I've never seen her laugh before.
Right, amen.
Verse 7, she said, who would have said unto Abraham? Who would have believed this? Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children son? Who would have believed that I would be nursing a baby at 90 years old?
Uh-huh.
Now, you ladies are thinking, oh God, no. No, God, no. But you don't understand, this was something they had been praying and waiting and trusting and agonizing for 25 years. And they didn't age like we do today. They lived a lot longer. But still, it was a miracle. She said, who in the world would have believed if I would have told you this 20 years ago, you'd have laughed at me. Now I'm laughing at you.
Yeah.
Because God is able.
Amen.
I have borne him a son in his old age. Verse 7. Then verse 8, the child grew and was weaned. Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, I'm going to get into the message here in a minute. But boy, the house is tremendous. They are thrilled.
Right.
They are rejoicing. It is the day of like no other in their lives. Now the young man Isaac is weaned. He's no longer nursing. He's now eating steak and potatoes.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So now we don't know exactly how old he was. Eastern Asian culture, you know, they nurse the babies longer than we do today in our culture. But he was probably 2 or 3 years old. Okay? Maybe even a little bit older. But there was a great feast in verse 8. Abraham made a great feast. I mean, there was just nothing now for 2 or 3 years while Isaac's nursing and he's growing up, and you can just see Abraham and Sarah, little old Abraham and little old Sarah, and they're just in there, and they're just amazed. I mean, every night they go to bed, they're just amazed at how good God is. Right. Every night that they lay down and Isaac wakes them up crying, they don't get angry. They're just amazed at how good God is. Man. They're thrilled at how great and merciful and almighty and miraculous that God has been. And for years now, 2, 3, or even longer, they have just been thrilled. I mean, they're throwing a feast. He's throwing a great feast.
Right.
What's he celebrating? Isaac.
Amen. Amen.
Still, years later, he's still celebrating Isaac. Amen. He's still rejoicing with Isaac. Him and Sarah are just filled with joy that it is over. It's overwhelming. It's unheard of. It's something that they've never experienced in their life.
Right.
It's just unhindered rejoicing. Just laughter, tears. Can you see them reminiscing about the days gone by? Oh, do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? And now look. And I mean, don't you know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to draw a picture here for all to get a hold of how incredibly excited they were, and how it wasn't just a flash in the pan. It went on for years.
Right.
Because it was something. By the way, let me just stop here and say that God sometimes makes us wait, so that when he does answer our prayer, we'll really appreciate it.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let me just throw that in there. Because he knows how human nature is by nature unthankful.
Right.
Ungrateful. And if you just get everything you want, what do you call that kind of a child?
Spoiled. Yeah, amen.
Right.
Amen.
And you can't ever make them happy, can you?
That's right.
That's right.
They get everything they want, when they want it, now. And you see them in the grocery stores. Throwing their fits. And mom says, oh, what do you want, honey? You want this here? You want this here? And like, that's going to help.
Right.
That's the reason they're like that.
Right.
But see, God didn't work that way with Abraham and Sarah. God made them wait. And now they are just, I mean, for years, there's nothing in their hearts but thrilled, joy, excitement. I mean, there's a great feast that Abraham made. He was a very glad father.
Right.
A glad father. Abraham made the feast. It doesn't say that Sarah had anything to do with the feast. Sarah was, you know, mama, but Abraham was making this feast. He was so thrilled after all that he had been through. Now, Abraham was the one that had really been beat up a little bit by his lack of faith. Sarah was just his submissive little wife, but Abraham was the one that God had been dealing with over the years. If you know the life of Abraham, God had been dealing with Abraham about his lack of faith, about his lying about Sarah, about his going down to Egypt, about his not trusting God, just things, and having Lot there with him to begin with, all of those things that he had been dealing with Abraham. So Abraham is just, I mean, it's to Abraham, it's like finally.
Right.
And he's a very happy father. He's a great, very glad father. A great feast is going on now. Their lives are filled with joy for years. Now, I want you to look carefully with me at verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Uh-oh. Years of joy. Years of gladness. Years of celebrating. Years of just walking on the mountaintop of victory. Uh-oh. There's a problem. There's a firstborn son named Ishmael, who is now 14 years old. And he, during this feast, Sarah happens to catch over here in the corner Ishmael mocking Abraham, Isaac, the party, the feast, the joy. But there's one face over here in the corner who's glaring.
Aye.
Glaring. Opposing the celebration. Mocking Isaac. Now, mocking, we really don't know exactly what he was doing. It's enough to know that he was an opposing spirit, that he was an opposing force, that there was a lot of celebrating going on, a very glad father, a great feast, a joyful mother, but there was a glaring, mocking firstborn son who was much bigger than Isaac, much stronger than Isaac, and listen to me, a real threat.
Yeah.
That's right.
He had been around for years. He was a very potential danger to this young baby, or this young lad, Isaac. Now, the reason that he was like that is because, hey, for 14 years, it's been me.
Right.
For 14 years, Abraham, I was your son. You know, I don't remember a feast like this. Because there wasn't one. I don't remember Sarah filled with laughter and joy for me, because she wasn't.
Right.
I don't remember you killing that fatted calf for me. So sure, I like what's going on around here. As a matter of fact, I'm angry. Matter of fact, I'm filled with envy. I'm filled with hatred. I don't like this stupid little boy. I don't like you being happy. I don't like you rejoicing. I don't like you celebrating. I don't like you laughing. Matter of fact, I'm going to make fun of you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. This feels like that in a funeral church. Every week. We're singing, we're laughing, we're rejoicing. There's adults like that every week too, but that's another story. But look, there's a problem here. All of a sudden, as everything is just going along great, and God has answered prayer, and God's finally come through, and they've seen miraculous going, but there's a problem here. There's a real threat in that room.
Right.
He could snap that little boy's neck if he wanted to. Sarah said in verse 10, "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son." That ain't my son. "For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." Now, verse 11, "The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." Can you see it? All the joy just went.
Right.
This thing was very, what's that next word?
Grievous.
That means it gave Abraham much grief. Sorrow. Right. Sadness. The gladness was gone.
Yeah.
The joy was destroyed. Now there's strife. Now there's contention. Sarah is telling Abraham, "Get that boy out of my house. Get that woman out of my house. They're not my son. Get him out of here." And Abraham's thinking, there's no more joy in my house.
Right. Yeah.
There's no more happiness. There's no more singing. There's no more laughter. The joy of having Isaac has now become grief in his father's heart.
Yeah.
Now I want you to remember something here. He didn't see this.
Yeah.
He didn't see Ishmael mocking. Sarah did.
Right.
What's the significance of that? Well, he was torn. Is she just being vindictive? Is she just being hateful because that's not her son?
Right.
But remember, that was his son. And so there's all kinds of, you know, you say, well, that's not in the scripture. Come on. There's still people like you and me.
Right.
The Bible says clearly Sarah saw it. Abraham didn't see it. But Abraham heard about it.
Right.
Oh, you know what I'm
something Daddy hears about. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. You know, it's already happened many times. But she saw, and listen, it was real. She wasn't making it up. So he was grieved. He was grieved for many different reasons. He had to believe Sarah. He had to think, okay, what am I going to do? This is my son. Dear God, I'm torn between this problem. There's a real problem here. God said unto Abraham in verse 12, aren't you glad that God got involved?
Amen.
I'm going somewhere with this, by the way. This is kind of just introduction here. But listen, there's a real good thing that God got involved here. Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. You know what God just said? You need to listen to your wife.
Amen.
What do I say now, God?
Come on, brother preacher.
No, I was trying to skip that verse. But really, you know, God was just saying, this is why I believe that Abraham was kind of doubting whether or not it really happened, because God said, no, it happened.
Yeah.
Sarah's right. You listen to her. Hearken unto your wife. Now, when God says to hearken unto your wife, men, don't be so proud.
Man, that's right. Come on.
Amen.
Don't be so proud that you don't. If God... he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And obtaineth the favor of the Lord.
Yeah.
A prudent wife is a gift from God.
Amen.
Sarah had been submissive. Sarah doubted God. Some, we know that, but so did Abraham. So do we all. But overall, Sarah had been a very submissive, very loyal wife to Abraham. Over all these times, she messed up with Hagar. We know that. But what God's saying here is, Abraham, listen to your wife. Abraham, what she's telling you is true.
Right.
Yeah.
Abraham, you didn't see it, but it happened. Abraham, don't be grieved. Just do what she says, because Isaac is the seed. Verse 12 at the end. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. The promised seed was not Ishmael. I don't care what the Muslims say. The promised seed was Isaac. And in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall the nations be blessed. And through Isaac came our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But there's a grieving family here now. Don't forget, Abraham loved Ishmael. He wasn't Sarah's son, but he was Abraham's son. And he shouldn't have been there. We know that. All this would have never happened, by the way. It would have never happened if Ishmael wasn't there. But Ishmael was there, and for a good reason. We're going to see that in a minute. Verse 13, also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Three things about Ishmael quickly I want to say that affect this situation. He had an Egyptian mother. He was born out of wedlock. And he had a father during this time of his life that was all but ignoring him.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
He was born of an Egyptian mother, yeah. A lost woman.
Yeah.
Out of wedlock.
Right.
I'm going to stop right here, parentheses, and say, dear God, you young people and you unmarried people, do not yoke up with unbelievers.
Amen.
Amen.
Do not yoke up with unbelievers. The grief that just happened here is going to come to your house too if you don't listen to me. He had an Egyptian mother. He was born out of wedlock. And his father was ignoring him now because God had blessed him with Isaac. Now, overall, there's a lot of things going on here. There's a lot of things going on here. A lot of grief, a lot of confusion, a lot of pain. There's a lot of anger, hatred in Ishmael. Isaac's just a little boy. He don't know what's going on. But his parents are arguing. They're fighting a little bit, grieving. Ishmael's over here and his mom, Hagar. I don't know. I mean, there's a whole bunch of schism and division and unrest in that home.
Right.
But God had a fix.
Amen.
God had a fix. Now I want you to notice in verse 12, and look with me again in verse 12. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of the bondwoman, in all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. Wait a minute. So what did Sarah say? Well, look up in verse 10. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out. Wait a minute.
Yep.
God's fix was to cast them out.
That's right. Amen.
God told Abraham to do it. Can I tell you, it was the only fix. It was the only thing that was going to fix this.
Yeah,
that's right.
Amen.
Ishmael wasn't going to change.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Ishmael wasn't going to change. Hagar was his mom. She was always going to be on his side.
Oh, yeah.
Ishmael wasn't going to change. The situation was not going to get better.
Right.
It was going to grow worse and worse.
Yeah.
The fix was cast out that bondwoman with her son, and God said, yeah, that's right.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah.
God wasn't saying, listen to your wife, as much as he was saying, do it.
Yeah,
right. Right. Now, you said, I know what you may be thinking. That's harsh. That's so harsh. That was God's fix.
Yeah, right.
Whether you like it or you love it, that was God's fix.
Yeah.
Whether you're a bleeding heart liberal or you understand God has perfect ways, you have to. That was God's fix.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I know Ishmael was a living human being. I know Hagar was a living human being. But God said, cast them out of your house.
Yeah, amen.
Because it's not going to stop. It's not going to get better.
That's right. Amen.
Your house is now Isaac's house.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
But you don't understand, Lord. Ishmael's been here for 14 years. No, God understands.
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere with this, but listen, you've got to understand all this is going on here. God's fix was cast him out. Whew. No wonder Abraham was grieving, huh? That's my son.
Yeah.
That's my firstborn son.
Right.
That's the one that I have lived with now for 14 years. That's the only son I've really ever known. Cast him out. Cast him what? Cast him out. Whew. Now, I want you to understand a quick glimpse into the future. Again, Ishmael becomes the father of all Arab nations. Verse 13. God says, I will make a nation of him because he is thy seed. But he is the antithesis, if you will, of Isaac. The Antichrist, the flip side of Isaac's descendants. The Muslims, all of ISIS, all of the terrorism that you and I hear about every day in this world comes from Ishmael. Now, by the way, this Muslim Islam stuff is damning and condemning millions of people.
Yeah, it is.
And I just want you to understand that it's not a small thing when we get out of God's will.
Yeah.
And we have to understand sometimes it's hard. The fix is a little bit overwhelming, but it was God's plan. It was God's will. Abraham rose up early, verse 14, in the morning, took bread, bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, they did not die. God provided for them. God gave them provender, water. God took care of them. But I want you to understand something here. All of this is leading me up to the allegory that all of this is. All of this that I just preached to you has a very spiritual application. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. This is still an ongoing fight. Everything I just preached to you for a few minutes now is still an ongoing fight. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. Galatians 4, verse 22. It is written that Abraham had two sons. the one by a bondmaid. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, way in the future now, writing to the church at Galatia about what I just preached to you about for the last few minutes. He said, it's written in the Bible that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. The one by Hagar, the other by Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. And he of the free woman was by promise. For which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar, or Agar. It's just a different spelling in the New Testament. This Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Where?
Arabia.
Arabs. You get it? See that? That's where they are. That's where they came from. And I say they, I'm meaning the Arab nations, the Muslim, Islamic, terrorist, all of that junk today, from Hagar, from Ishmael. And answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Okay, we're going back to Sarah and Isaac, down through, all the way down to Jesus. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh, in verse 29, don't miss this, he that was born after the flesh, which was Ishmael, persecuted, mocked, hated him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Now. What we have in Ishmael and Isaac is a perfect picture of now, the Holy Spirit versus the flesh.
That's right.
Okay, go. If I'm going to revisit, you remember there was a great time of rejoicing. There was great feast of joy. There was, and that is a picture of you when you got saved. When you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you understood that you were lost in sin, you understood that the only hope you had was God's power, God's grace to give you righteousness, impute unto you salvation through Jesus Christ, and you got saved. You know what happened when you got saved? You were indwelt, you were sealed, and you were filled with what? The Holy Spirit. But, and at that point in time anyway, I shouldn't say, but at that point, you know, you were at least for an hour or two, I hope, happy.
Amen.
I mean, you were rejoicing. I am saved. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you remember that day?
Amen.
I just remember being in awe. It was just a quiet hush that just overcame me. All the burdens were gone. Everything was lifted. All my guilt, my shame. I went back and I sat beside my wife. I remember. And we just kind of looked at each other. Yeah, wow, that was exciting, wasn't it? Well, but it was just an overwhelming peace.
Amen.
I got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. It was just there. It was joy. It was rejoicing. I mean, I wasn't shouting like maybe I should have been, but I was. It was just a tranquil calm had taken over. I mean, I was thrilled. I got baptized. I began to grow, and I was just thrilled. I was excited, and I hope that you were.
Amen.
I hope that you're saved. If you know what I'm talking about, if you're saved, you should understand what I'm talking about. Rejoicing in salvation, being born again, being bought by the blood of Christ, being alive unto God. Amen. Finally, I understand. Okay, yes, I'm saved. Oh, God. I'm saved. And boy, a great time of feasting and rejoicing. And everything at home began to change.
Yeah. Amen.
By the way, it should.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit just moved in.
Yeah.
Amen.
Isaac just showed up.
Yeah.
And everything at home is great now. Everything is wonderful. It didn't happen overnight, but you understand, it began to change.
Amen.
Beginning to overcome the problems, and children are starting to laugh now. Why? Because they're in church. They're learning songs. They're singing the B-I-B-L-E and Jesus Loves Me and Hallelujah, Hosanna to the Highest. But things begin to change at home, and things were wonderful. And hey, don't miss this. There was also a very glad father.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm talking about God.
Amen.
Do you understand that nothing pleases God more than when a sinner is saved?
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
That there is no greater joy in heaven in the presence of angels than when a sinner is saved.
Yeah.
When a child of God, a sinner lost in sin, that old shepherd, remember that story? Left the 99 over here and went out to find you.
Yeah.
Went out to find me.
Yeah.
That one lost sheep, and when he found him, he put him on his shoulder and he brought him home. And the Bible says there was great what? Rejoicing.
Yeah.
Who's that shepherd? That's Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, all of heaven rejoicing, singing.
Yeah.
God is just thrilled. Another soul has come home.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, there's great time of rejoicing and feasting at home. And there's a glad, glorious Father in heaven who's just thrilled. He's standing up. He said, yes, yes, there's another one. Saved by the grace. Saved by the blood.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Don't think that happens. I guarantee you that.
Amen.
Hey.
You ought to get more excited about it.
Amen.
You ought to get more excited about it.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Got excited when you got saved.
Amen. Amen.
And then you got weaned. You began to understand.
Right.
Remember, he didn't throw that feast into it. Isaac was born.
Yeah.
You began, my Bible college, they used to, Brother Smith used to say, this is what you do. You win them to Christ. You wet them. Then you wean them. And then you work them. That's the process. That's it. It's easy to remember. But see, when Isaac got weaned, then Abraham threw that great feast.
Yeah.
When you got weaned and finally you stopped
right.
being a baby in Christ,
yeah.
You started growing, you started getting serious about Jesus, you started
attending
church, and then you started reading your Bible and memorizing verses, and you started soul winning, and you started tithing, and you started giving, and that's when God in heaven is just throwing a feast because you're weaned. You're no longer just this worthless little infant. A babe in Christ is just nothing but a babe.
Yeah,
but when you got weaned, the Spirit of God began to work in you, and you began to throw away the old life and grow in the new life.
Yeah.
And things begin to really change, and God said, boy, there's just a great feast in heaven. But look out, it's right about then.
Yep, that's right.
There's a glaring first one.
Right. Help. You may have preached. That's right.
Right about then.
Yep.
That old flesh says, hey, I was here first.
Yep. Come on.
Hey. I'm in charge around here.
Yeah. Right?
Come on. Oh, no, it's okay for you to have a little bit of fun. And, yeah, you get saved and all that. Hey, but wait a minute. Don't you start sowing. Don't you start tithing. Wait a minute. I was here first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was here first. I was the one that you used to party with.
Yep.
I was the one that you used to celebrate with. I was the one that you used to spend all your time with.
Right. Yeah, you win.
What's going on here? What do you mean you're throwing a feast for Isaac? I don't care about Isaac. As a matter of fact, I hate
Isaac. I think I wish Isaac would have never been born.
Yeah, right. Come on. Hello, amen. Great.
And that old man, that firstborn.
Yep.
Is stronger.
Right.
Been around longer.
Yep.
More experienced.
Yeah.
And he says,
yeah, he's saying it'll happen.
This ain't gonna happen. Not with me around.
Yep. Yeah, amen.
Not with me around. All that stupid laughter, all that dumb joy, all that preaching and all that praying and all that Bible reading, all that foolishness. You go on going down that old church. Listen, it's gonna stop now.
That's right.
That's what Ishmael said. I've had enough.
Yep. Amen.
I want you to notice, remember, who saw him. Who saw him?
Sarah.
His, not his mother, but the mother of the house.
Right. Yeah, amen.
Now listen to me.
Amen.
Who was the mother of Isaac?
Sarah.
Who's the mother of all Christians?
Jesus.
I preached this before. It's the Word of God.
Yeah, amen.
Okay.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, yeah, by the Word of God.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
God is my Father. This yeah. book is my spiritual yeah. mother.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Who saw Ishmael?
Yeah, the Bible. Amen.
Who saw Ishmael glaring, mocking?
Right.
See, it's this precious book that said, hey, wait a minute, we got a problem.
Right, yeah. Amen.
We got a problem. Ishmael's not happy.
Right.
Matter of fact, he looks pretty downright threatening.
Right.
It was mom.
Yeah, you mean.
It was mom. Not Ishmael's mom, but Isaac's mom.
Amen.
The spiritual mom.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then, you know, there was some grief in the family. The joy of salvation started to... Now, I want you to understand something. There's a lot going on here, but do you see how these two are perfect pictures of one another?
Yeah.
The family's no longer happy.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Now there's contention and strife and grieving, envy and hatred, and there's problems.
Yeah, amen.
And don't forget who was grieving the most. Who was
Ephron.
Would you get that in your heart for right for a second? If you don't hear anything else I say, I don't think my mic's even working anymore. I'm going to stay up here. I think my battery must be dead or something. But you get that in your heart. When the flesh starts to cause problems, the one who grieves the most is the Father.
Right. Amen.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, amen.
See, we don't understand, but God in heaven is involved in our everyday life.
Yeah.
He is involved in everything that goes on in our lives. And when we start to have problems at home, problems in our lives, because Ishmael starts to creep and raise up his ugly head, and our flesh starts to fight against what God's doing, we have joy and rejoicing and happiness and glee and gladness, but then here comes Ishmael, and who grieves the most? I believe it's God.
Yeah.
Before you ever even start noticing what's really going on, God's in heaven saying, oh boy. But you know, God's not in heaven wringing his hands like, what do I do? Oh no, what do I do? I don't know. No. Remember, there was a godly fix.
Yeah, amen.
Well, preacher, that was so harsh. That was, no, listen. The fix was right down the line with what it still is today.
Yeah.
Verse 30 in Galatians chapter 4. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out.
Amen. That's right.
See, well, I can't cast out my flesh. No, no, you can't cast out your flesh. But you can cast out everything in your life that is still feeding that flesh.
Amen.
All of your ungodly relationships.
Yep. Amen. Hello.
Cast out, preacher. You can try to find another fix, but it's in Genesis and it's in Galatians. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's God's fix for this problem. Amen. Cast it out.
Amen. Amen. Right. That's right. Preach.
There was joy, there was happiness, there was gladness, there was a glorious rejoicing in heaven. Your home was different, everything was great. The flesh began to raise its ugly head. God said, cast it out. And all of a sudden, oh, but God.
Yeah.
It was grievous. Oh, but God. Abraham rose up in the morning and said, goodbye.
Yeah, man. That's right.
What are you talking about, preacher? Well, I'm glad you ask. We have to stop entertaining the flesh.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
We have to stop tolerating the flesh.
Right.
We have to stop tolerating the things that are destroying God's people.
Yep.
You say, well, wait a minute. I can't go shoot everybody. You know what I'm talking about. You can get rid of those DVDs. You can get rid of those CDs. You can change that radio station. You can turn off that television. You can get rid of that filthy pornography on your internet. You've got to cast it out.
Amen. Amen. Right. Hey. Come on, preach. Amen.
Amen.
Bring it
on.
That's right.
Preacher, nobody gets that serious about it anymore.
Come on.
That's our problem.
Yep. Right. Amen.
That's right.
That's right. Preach.
That's our problem.
Right.
Yep.
Well, maybe we can just compromise.
Yeah.
That's not what God said.
Come on. That's right. Amen.
Maybe we can find a middle ground. That's not what God said.
Amen, that's right.
Maybe we can meet halfway.
Come on, amen. Preach.
What does God say? God says cast it out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Cast out. He says the same thing here that he said back in Genesis.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
But see, that's Old Testament. That's law. No. That's God.
Yeah. That's
that old-fashioned preaching again. All that separation stuff. You better mark it down. That's God's fix.
Yeah.
That is the fix for the flesh. Yeah. Cast it out.
Come on. Yeah. Hey. Hey. That's right.
You got friends that are feeding your flesh?
Come on.
They need to be ex-friends.
Amen. Come on. Preach. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You were excited a minute ago.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on,
amen.
Preach.
Come on, amen.
These things were written for our learning.
That's right.
For our understanding.
Yeah,
for
right.
Our wisdom. So we can see what really happens when we ignore God, when we do our own thing. Ishmael is going to try to take over. And listen to me, he's bigger than you are.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
You can't play games with him.
Yep.
You can't tolerate him. You have to cast him out.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's no compromise. Ishmael doesn't say, okay, I'll stop. Okay, I'll quit. Okay, you just give me my room over here, then I'll just let everything else. No, he doesn't stop. God says, come out from among them, be ye separate, don't even touch the unclean thing. Cast out that bondwoman and her son. Cast out everything that brought him into your house.
That's right. Amen.
Hey.
Amen. I'm telling you tonight, It sounds harsh. It sounds severe, extreme. But you're not going to have anything but strife, contention, problems, grief. And might I add, you're not going to do anything but continue to grieve the Heavenly Father, grieve the Holy Spirit, and grieve your marriage, and grieve your family, and grieve your own soul until you listen to what God says. Cast them out. Now, they're not literal people, obviously, but you do have to keep God on the throne and the flesh out. Crucify the flesh every day through this walking and being filled with the Spirit. But anything that feeds the flesh, anything that brings in the carnal strife and envy, it must be cast out of your house, cast out of your life, cast out of your mind.
That's right.
Amen.
And this is an ongoing fight. It's an ongoing fight. Every time, and by the way, don't ever forget, always remember who saw him.
Yeah.
You know, well, preacher, I just don't see it that way. You know why? Because you're not reading your Bible.
Amen.
Preacher, I just don't see it to be, and you're not reading your Bible.
Yep.
Because this Bible sees it that way.
Amen. That's right.
This Bible is what sees it for you.
Yes.
I just don't see it that way, Abraham said. God said, no.
Amen.
It's that way.
That's right.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's true.
Amen.
What my word said, what my word tells you to do, you got to do it. So Sarah said it, God said it, the Holy Spirit says it. Well, I just don't see it that way.
Well, come on. Preach.
I can't. All I can tell you is this. If you don't see it that way, your life is never going to be fixed.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, you know, I would love to have you come to me and say, preacher, come over to my house and see what I need to get rid of. But you know, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to do that. But what you ought to do is go home and say, God, what do you see that I need to get rid of?
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Look around my house, Lord. What do you see?
Yeah.
What do you see that's mocking your spirit, that's grieving my joy, that's grieving my home? What do you see, God? Get the Bible open. Dear God, listen to me. Get the Bible open. Get on your face before God and praying in the Spirit and say, God, I need to know, what do I need to cast out? What needs to change? I'm sick and tired of the constant grief.
Yeah, amen.
It's always flesh, we know that. But what's feeding your flesh? It may be just a simple fact of you starving the spirit and feeding the flesh every day. It may just be you just need to stop feeding the flesh, starve the flesh, and feed the spirit. It may just be, you know, it may not, but I guarantee you, if we're serious about it, there's something at home we probably need to cast out.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now don't go home and say, never mind. I'm not talking about a person. Okay? You can't cast out a family member. Oh, Lord, sorry. But, you know, you can... You can walk in the Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
You can be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
To where that, listen, Ishmael all of a sudden was not welcome there.
Yep. Amen.
When Isaac was born and the way Ishmael reacted, he was no longer welcome there. Sin, ungodliness, unrighteousness, filthy spirits, filthy wicked lifestyles, they ought not be welcome in our homes. Somebody comes into my house with that kind of spirit, I guarantee you, they are not going to feel welcome. They're not going to stay.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, I can do that because it's my house. But I'm telling you, there is a spirit that can still be cast out, that can still come in through different avenues, different things bringing. There's any number of library books. There's any number of magazines. I'm talking about real stuff that you don't think is a big deal, but you can't figure out, why do I not have the joy that I used to have? Why do I not have the rejoicing and the gladness that I used to have? It's because there's something that needs to be cast out.
That's right. Amen. Hey. That's right.
I want to go back to Isaac's new days, newborn days. I remember, and I'm sure Brother Jose and Miss Chelsea remember him a lot better than I do, but little Levi's still pretty small. But good night. It's just, there's a baby. There's a life there that came out of me and my husband, right? Brother and Miss Campos, wow, look at that baby. Wow, praise God. Two arms, two legs, 10 fingers. It's a time of just rejoicing. It's a time of, I can't believe how good God is.
Amen.
And then they grow up. But really, that joy shouldn't go away, because they're still just as... Isaac was the answer to Abraham and Sarah's biggest need. Salvation is the answer to our biggest need. Salvation is the greatest miracle that could ever happen to anybody. But the flesh rises up. And as soon as you start getting weaned from this old world, the flesh rises up. As soon as you decide you're going to start going a little bit further with God and serving God, the flesh rises up and say, Wait a minute.
Yep.
I was here first.
All right.
You need to listen to Mama.
Yeah.
You need to listen to Mama. I know that pains you men to hear that. You need to listen to Mama. God said, listen.
Yeah, amen.
Father, I pray you bless your word. Lord, I don't know what else to say. I think I've said enough. Lord, I pray for your people to get a hold of whatever you want them to hear from this message.